Hallelujah. Lift your hand to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to me from heaven today. Let your word pierce my heart. Let my faith focus on it like an arrow, that I may obtain a great testimony for this year of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Take your seat. Thank you so much. Praise God Almighty. Wow, aren't the worship team doing wonderful? Praise the living God. I love what God is doing here, and I'm so, so glad to be a part of it. How about you? Amen. Amen. I think we should glorify the Lord for what he's doing here. Put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The world hungers and thirsts for what we have, and we have it in abundance, and I'm so glad that we do. Amen. As we enter into 2014, the year of glory, one of the things that I always ask God for, and I usually prepare myself about a month or two before we break into the new year, because it's important to gear up your faith. How many of you know that your faith needs gearing up? Your faith is not a sedentary thing. Your faith is like your muscles. If you sat in bed, I think Douglas is a GP, so you probably know Doug. If you lie in bed for more than 10 days, is that right? The muscles in your leg waste so much that you need, some people need even to learn how to walk again, even just after 10 days. Wow. So faith is a similar thing. We've got to learn how to work our faith like we work our muscles. We've got to learn how to take the word of God like the barbells in a gym. How many of you actually go to the gym? How many of you never seen a gym in your life and you ate so much turkey? Lord have mercy on us all in January. Yeah, Jason, well done, sir. An honest and good heart. You will do well in Jesus' name. It is incumbent upon us to take the barbells and the dumbbells of God's word and work them in our lives the way that we would work natural barbells and dumbbells in a gym. So, like, for instance, you know, you wake up on a Sunday morning. Thank God today's a nice day, but many times it's raining, particularly in Britain. Wow, the weather, man. Hey, you read about iniquity in the Bible and what it brings upon the land. And you'll see, you know, they call it climate change. God calls it iniquity. But that's another issue. But you can be just, oh, how many of you feel that time, you feel that way some ways? You know, your body's out of line. I used to call myself God's undercover lover, because all I wanted to do was stay under the covers, you know? So it's like that sometimes. The weather, it's like on top of you. I was looking after my children yesterday. My kids were on top of me. But you know, the thing that stirs you again to lay hold of God. Scripture's like, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was lifting that barbell and that dumbbell today, and I was stirring myself up. The book of Jude and verse 20, there's only one chapter. It says, but you, beloved, stir yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So it's good to pray in the Holy Spirit because it stirs your faith. So it's like exercising your muscles. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with praying in other tongues, then it's really important that you seek God for that. Really important, because it's God's gift to you. Literally, all you have to do is ask for it and then receive it, and God will do the rest. As long as you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, it is part of your heritage. Can you say amen? Amen. How many of you pray in the Holy Spirit? You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't it good for you? Isn't it like a workout? How many of you feel like that? That's what I feel at the all nights and the half nights. It's like a gym workout. And you come out like knackered but happy. Praise God. And you know, lately now I go to the gym every Friday, as many of you know, And lately, after the exercise, Junior lays me down on the floor and he pops my back. And my back goes click, 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 click. It's like, because, you know, like what? I'm approaching 48 years old. I know it's hard to imagine. Look, look, camera two on my face right now. I'm nearly 48. Praise the living God. How many of you thought I was younger than that? Okay, I'm taking the mental note of everyone who didn't. Yeah, last week my wife was preaching and there's a dear old lady who comes in a wheelchair. Many of you will have seen her. She's convinced that my wife is actually my daughter. So, oh, she said to her son, she said, oh, didn't the pastor's daughter preach so well last week? I'm thinking, oh, my goodness me. Oh, Lord. What can you do? It's the anointing makes you young. Praise God. What the Bible says, he satisfies my mouth with good things. So that what? My youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise God. Sometimes when I look in the mirror and I think, ah! And I look so old and just feel so old, I think, Jesus, put a good word in my mouth. Just put something in my mouth that can come out and renew my youth like the eagle. God doesn't want us to be washed up and tired and all those kind of things, you know? The Bible says that times of refreshing come from where? From the presence of the Lord. So there's something about youth that God likes. Hallelujah. So some of you, you're going to book in the gym and you're going to exercise. And that's where I've lost you, isn't it? Forget, I may as well be talking gibberish right now. But there's something about it. When you exercise yourself in the realm of the spirit, it renews you. When you exercise yourself in the natural, it renews you. I heard about an old gentleman has just given up doing marathons. Because now he's too old. He's the oldest marathon runner in Britain and he's 103. Some of us are 23. And run into the bus stop. It's like... But as we enter every year, one of the things that God tells me to do is that he tells me to believe him deliberately, to set a target for my faith so that I at an individual level and that we at a corporate level can achieve that goal. We can actually lay hold of something, right? Now, last year, God said that it would be a year of uncommon favor. And many of us, we had testimonies about the uncommon favor of God at work in our lives, how God had done something for us that he hadn't done for somebody else. So it's distinguishing you. This year, God said that it would be a year of glory. Now, the year of glory, you see, we all come from different backgrounds. My background was like scallywag, but before that, I was brought up in the Catholic Church till I was about 11, till I could run away. And then, you know, we used to run to the church and get the mass thing as though we'd been to mass and then stick it in our pocket and then go home. And Dad says, oh, yeah, who said mass? And we said, oh, Father so-and-so, he was from out of town. And, you know, we make up this whole big nonsense about how we'd gone to mass and really we hadn't. We just nicked the sheet and ran away and, you know, like having some fun or whatever on the street. And but that was my background. And you see, if you say glory to a Catholic, like, that will mean something different than if you say glory to a Baptist. If you say glory to a Pentecostal, then that's a different thing again, right? And words are like that. Words, they carry pictures. So if the word that God gives me, he says it's going to be a year of glory, well, I've got to find out what kind of picture God wants me to paint in the area of my hope so that I can then stick my faith on it like a target, like an arrow, and then go for that thing. Does that make sense? It's like, you know, if God says to me, right, I want to give you a new car, right? Well, there's millions of cars. I've got to know what kind of car it is that God wants me to have, right? It's like when God told me that, you know, I was going to get married. And I felt in my spirit that I was going to be married by the age of 27. So when I ticked over into year 28, man, I panicked. Because I felt somewhere in my spirit I'd missed it. But actually, it was her that had... No, I'm kidding. But, you know, like it hadn't yet happened. It's like when God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to take your children and they'll be held captive in slavery 400 years. Well, can you imagine when year 401 ticked by and 402 and 403 and they're still held in slavery? You know, it was 430 years that they were held in slavery. You see, because something needed to happen on earth for heaven to move in response. Does that make sense to you? Right. So likewise, in the days of Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, he said, these people, they're into all kinds of stuff. They've forgotten me. They've neglected the God of their salvation. They've forgotten everything that I told them to do. I'm going to bring them into captivity in Babylon, and they'll be held in Babylon 70 years. But at year number 70, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, is looking there, and he says, wow. He said, I realized that the term, the sentence, if you like, the prison sentence given to Israel in the land of Babylon, namely 70 years, had passed. So I sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. In other words, I put my faith to work. Do you understand? It's like, I should have been this by now, and it hadn't happened. So I put my faith to work to seek God to see what was up. Amen. Many of us, we need to do that. To lay a hold of a testimony, we can't just let life just pass us by. I said to God, Lord, I said, Lord, I need a testimony. I want to break into the year with a testimony. You know what happened? Monday, the phone rang. Hey, glory to Jesus. And I'd had a phone conversation with, how many of you remember Pastor Dil Kumar in Dubai? Dear friend of ours, he's the largest church pastor in the Middle East and everything like that. God is sending him around the world. And he mentioned something in passing. I'd rung him just before Christmas, just to wish him a Merry Christmas and the family and everything like that. And he mentioned that something was happening and, you know, just to sort of watch this space. I heard nothing about it since. And then Monday, the phone rang. Hey, Daddy, you're going to enjoy this one. Oh, you love this one. Trust me. While you're suffering here in the cold and the rain, while you're looking at that Sam's fried chicken bowl once again and just, you know, wishing there was more to life than Lidl. No, I'm kidding. Where's Godfrey when you need him? The apostle of Lidl. The phone rang on Monday. And actually, no, it wasn't the phone. It was an email. That's right. I just opened my email on Monday and it said, Dear Pastor P, here is your ticket. You'll be joining us on the crusade in Mauritius next week. Hey, Daddy. I thought you'd be happy for me. I thought you'd be clapping. There's a spare ticket. And if you clap hard enough, I might just bring you. That's better. I'm kidding. And I looked at the ticket. I said, wow, God, you're awesome. So can you imagine starting the year with a ticket to Mauritius? And the great thing about Pastor Dil Kumar, you know, some of the men of God I travel with, man, they run you ragged. You know, for instance, Lawrence Tete in Ghana. He's so well connected. We'll be in Kumasi 1 minute, Sunyani in another, Ho another, Accra another, like just keeping up with him. If you get 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, then you're doing well. Pastor Dil Kumar, it's like, Pastor, please come stay in the hotel. You can go to the beach. You can rest and just as long as you pray for us. So I say, that bit. That one is, that's easy to do. That's very, very easy to do. So, guys, I begin the year of glory with a great testimony. That, and I'll remember you in prayer. If you clap for the Lord high enough, I'll remember you in prayer. Praise his holy name. And I thought, you know, because we named the year of glory the year of wow. That's one thing that God told us so far about the year of glory, is to believe him for something wow. Do you understand? I heard the story of a dear sister in the house who her job was finishing. And, you know, out there in the world today, like, prospects aren't that good. But so far, I think she'd received 4 job offers. Oh, no, 4 interviews and 1 offer. 4 job offers. Wow. So you'll hear more of that. But that's a wow. Amen. I pray that God will give you something that on your lips and on the lips of everyone else will be wow. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He said, I want to break your expectations. Your expectations of me are this big, but I want to break them. I want to take them up and over so that you be saying what? Wow. That's the God we serve. I serve a very big God. Oh, he's always by my side. A very big God. Oh, by my side, by my side. So that's what I'm going to be singing on the plane, looking out the window as I head towards the sun. Praise God. So I'm helping out in the crusade over there, and then I'm ministering in a church as well on the Sunday. And I just know that, you see, what God will do for me, then why wouldn't he do something like that for you? It might not be a trip somewhere different or new or anything like that, but, it might be something. Suddenly, you know, you're believing God for a wife. Suddenly, the woman of your dream just manifests before you think, whoa, she is the one. Hallelujah. That's what God said to me when I met Joey the first time. She is the one. And I jumped on it. I jumped on it, right? Jump on it, guys.
And the way he asked me out.
Forget it. Back to the word. We've got to be holy in this house. Praise the living God. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, you need to that switch. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. You guys are rowdy this morning, man. I don't know what got into you. Isaiah chapter 60, please. And verse 1. What's the first thing that God tells us to do? Arise. What does that mean? Get up. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean get up on the outside. If you're sitting down, you can be getting up on the inside. You can be saying, yes, Lord, by faith, the men of old obtained a testimony. So I'm going to arise and I'm going to obtain my testimony. My testimony is going to come out of my mouth before anyone sees it with their eyes, so that when they see it with their eyes, they know it came from inside me. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within. So whatever we need to manifest on the outside is already where? On the inside. So we take God's word, we exercise it like a person going to the gym, and then we manifest that word. The Bible says, having therefore the same spirit of faith wherein it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We believe, therefore what? We also speak. So there's something to do with believing and speaking that manifests what's already inside us. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Touch your neighbor and tell him, what does the glory of God look like? And how will I recognize it? See, this is part of the issue we have. When God told me, he said it's going to be a year of glory, what does that mean? You're going to get one of them kind of dinner plates like, the Catholic saints. When I used to go to the Catholic church, there was pictures of all these old saints. And they had this kind of illuminated dinner plate behind their head that sort of somehow represented the glory of God. But I thought, there's got to be something more to it than a shiny dinner plate, right? And this is part of the problem. So we have to know what we're believing God for. And so when I said to the Lord, I said, God, what are we believing for? This is the year of glory. Great. But what does that mean to us? How can I apply my faith to something I can't see? Do you understand? That was the issue with Abraham. Abraham, go out of your tent and look up and see the stars. So shall thy seed be. Abraham, go out of your tent, look at the sand of the shore. So shall thy seed be. Do you understand? It was a marker that he could then see, that he could then apply his hope to, so that it would become faith and manifest in a baby. Does that make sense to you? Yes. Likewise for us. So the first thing that God told me was that it would be a year of wow. And so far, so wow. Praise Jesus. Some of you get your wow. Don't you worry, man. God is faithful. He's able to do, the Bible says, exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to what? The power that works within us. Praise Jesus. There's a lot riding on the power that works within us. There's a lot riding on it. So you've got to get more of that power, get more word power in you, get more faith power. People go to university for 3, 5, 7 years to study and become a master in a particular thing, but then their faith is just left on the shelf. They don't even know what it is. They don't even know if it's worth anything. But the Bible calls it like precious faith. And he says it's like precious faith because it's exactly like the faith of Jesus Christ himself. So if Jesus could get what he needed and what the people needed by his faith, then our faith has got the same characteristics, the same capabilities, and the same abilities. Can you say amen? Amen. So you've got to exercise it to that level. He says, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will be upon you. So I said, right, Lord, what does the glory of God look like? And he showed me, wow. Now, there's something else that God showed me. And I want us to focus this morning on this particular thing. Because it says in verse 2, the Lord will rise upon you, his glory will appear upon you. Then at the end of verse 5, then you will see and be radiant, your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, the wealth of the nations will come to you. Now this was the unexpected part of the year of glory to me. Because you see, the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You'll either serve God or you'll serve Mammon. Mammon is the ancient spirit behind money, right? And as a result, I have steered clear of encouraging people to believe God for wealth on purpose. Because wealth should be a natural byproduct of a godly life. Do you understand? The Bible says that godliness is a source of great gain if it's coupled with contentment. So your godliness, you see, you don't need to, and I've been to places where they do what's called the hoop, the holler, and the heist, right? You know what the hoop is? That's the whole hallelujah, man. And then there's the holler. There's a preacher screeching at you and screeching, and then the heist is the offering. Who's going to give 5,000? Who's going to give 10,000? Who's going to give 20,000? It's like suddenly your skin, your kids aren't going to eat for the week and all that kind of stuff. Do you see what I mean? And you see, when there's an anointing on that, then that's fine. That's all well and good. I've learned how to make sacrifices and how to sow seeds like that and how to do it. But I do it when the Holy Spirit is witnessing to me, not when there's some fella screeching at me. Literally, I've sat on meetings in the front row, where somebody has been taking an offering and they're looking at me and I'm the only white man in the place and they're standing right in front of me and talking to me about how it's important to sow seed in this ministry. This man is a man of God and you must sow seed into his ministry. Who's going to give £100? And they're looking at you like that. Now you imagine, I mean, there's several hundred people in the place and the entire thing is directed at yours truly. And I haven't moved an inch, haven't flinched 1 minute. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is talking to me at the same time that guy was. And he's saying, no, hold your peace, hold your peace. I've got a mission for your money and this isn't it. Do you understand? So there's been other times when there's been some guy, and I mean the dude is loaded. I'm talking loaded. Because I'll never go on how wealthy the person is or how poor they are. I've seen people come in with like holes in their shoes and a shabby suit and about 52 pens in their top pocket. You know that kind of thing? I mean, you feel sorry for the dude, right? And then he's going to tell you about how his wife is starving and how the kids are starving and how they haven't got enough to be in ministry and they're going to shut the church building down because nobody's giving. And I'm thinking, well, go on, shut the church, dude. At least you get a few bob for the lease. Do you understand? Because what the Holy Spirit is saying to me is different to what the natural... But when the natural man... There's some guys I've been in there and they're loaded, absolutely loaded. Because I'm not going to look at how rich or how poor they are. I'm going to look to God in terms of my giving. Does that make sense to you? And then I'm going to sow accordingly as the Spirit of God leads me. I'm not going to be cajoled, manipulated, or anything like that. So I've steered away from this whole subject as a result, because there are too many 419s. Too many. Now, I don't mean that from a cultural or a nationalistic point of view. I mean, you know, a 419 from the United States is as bad as a 419 from Namibia or Zambia or Zim, where they take you, where's that church, where they took one of the people in Harvest. Hey, one of the people in Harvest, she used to go to this church. It was like a Zim church. Where's Gloria? Where are you, Gloria? And one of the things they used to do, if you didn't have your tithe, they would bring you to the cash machine. Hey! So I was going to start this with my ushers. No, I'm kidding. Put a cash machine in the foyer there. No, I'm joking. You see, but that's why I've had to steer away from that. Because Harvest isn't my source. You're not my source. God is my source. I paid more in tax than I earned from this church last year. Thank God for it. I'm not complaining. I'm rejoicing. Praise God. We moved to a bigger house last year. It was wonderful. Until you get the stamp duty bill. Paid 15 grand in stamp duty, man. Should I take an offering? No, I'm joking. Okay. Do you see? So I had to keep away completely from that thing. So when God said then to me that there is a connection between the glory of God and wealth, I thought, whoa. That's the strangest thing I ever heard. I started looking in the Bible, and I want to share some of which I got from the Lord with you right now. So this is the connection, right? Verse 2, it says, and his glory will appear upon you. And then at the end of verse 5, it says, the wealth of the nations will come to you. And it carries on in verse 9. It says, surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. And for the Holy One of Israel, because what? He has glorified you. So when the glory of God is upon you, wealth becomes attracted to you. That's why you don't have to go out and you know, some people have to try and work it up and do anything to make like 50 grand a year or whatever, you know. Gosh, back in the day in Tottenham, I'd have shot people for that much. In fact, there's people in Tottenham who shoot you for half that. I know them. I mean, there's some of them in prison now, you know, for similar activities. Tottenham was a bad. Anyone from there? Forget it. Don't worry. Okay. Praise God. Now, I want you to turn with me. Let's have a look at this next one. The book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. This is where it pays to have an electronic Bible. I looked for nearly 5 minutes to where Haggai went because like all the tags have fallen off my Bible and I just couldn't find it. But thank God I found it again. Haggai chapter 2. And verse 5. He says here, as for the promise which I made to you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. How many of you know the spirit of God is with you? Yes. You know he's with you. His spirit is abiding in your midst. And he says this, as in the days I promised you when you came out of Egypt. You see, coming out of Egypt for us isn't a natural journey. It's a spiritual journey. Egypt typifies the world. You know that awful thing that the world is. I've been out of the world so far now, I can't even remember what it's like. But I remember the pain and the sorrow, and the loneliness and the feeling of just like, you don't care whether you live or die. And just, you know, the feeling of worthlessness. And thank God, you know, deliverance from Egypt and coming into the kingdom of God gets rid of all that. Can you say amen? How many of you here, you've been delivered from spiritual Egypt and you know it? Life is different for you now. Can you give the Lord praise for that? He says in verse 6, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, and also the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Do you see that again? There's a connection between glory and wealth. I said to the Lord once, I said, you know, how are people going to know what you are doing here is something wonderful and something genuine and something life-changing? And the Lord said, he said, watch me. About the following, about 3 weeks later, you know, we're surrounded by business people here from all various kinds of ethnic minorities. And there's a lot of Hindu business people from the Asian subcontinent. And, you know, I'm very good friends with them. We get on really well. And they appreciate what we've done here. And within a week or two, about three of them said the exact same thing to me. Right? Now, I know it wasn't that they were having a confab because two of them hate each other. In fact, one's suing the other for all his assets. But they said similar thing. And it went like this. They said, wow, you know, I really like what you're doing in the place here, how you've done it up and how you've made the area safer and how you've been a blessing to many people round about. And they said, we noticed something. They said, what are you doing in this place? I said, well, you know, we have church services, prayer meetings, we praise God, we rejoice. They said, I said, when you guys first came here, he said, you know, you had small cars, your cars were generally like 10, 15 years old. They were a bit bashed, you know, people like they looked like sort of like generally poor, like community people and everything like that. They said, but now, he said, every time you guys are pulling into the car park, there's a new Range Rover, there's a new Q10, there's a new, like, I don't know, Audis, BMWs. He says, one guy even says, hey, I even saw a Bentley. What's good? I even saw a Bentley. I said, wow. I said, well, you know, I said, it's the blessing of God. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and he adds no sorrow. I said, so, you know, if we are really and truly walking in the blessing of God, then we should be experiencing such manifestations. We don't chase those manifestations. They happen naturally. Because if we had to chase them, like, you know, we wouldn't be different to the world. The world chases that kind of stuff. You remember what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6? He said, the world goes after this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things will be chasing you. And he said, for such things the Gentiles seek. Now, when we say the word Gentile, it doesn't carry as much force. But to a Jew, a Gentile is one up from a pig, a pimp. That's how God showed it to me. He said, for such things the pimps seek. For such things the dealers seek. And I know, I mean, back in the day, hey, if you've seen where I came from, Lord Jesus, have mercy. As one of my mates got 18 years, he got caught with a suitcase full of cocaine in the boot of his car. And they did him for 18 years. I don't know what else was in the suitcase, but hey. And the guy's still inside today. Imagine, that could have been me. Hey, daddy. Oh, well, I'm happy. I don't know about you, but bless Jesus. I'm preaching myself happy. Praise God. You see, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when he says, I'm going to fill this temple with glory. And he says, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. And three people have said it already. And the Lord said this to me. He said, you see, people who aren't spiritual, they can't see the glory of God. But they can see the manifestation of the glory of God. A better car. Nicer clothes. You can tear up that Primark loyalty card. The guys at New Look will be saying to you, wow, you know, we haven't seen you for a while. They knew you by your first name 5 years ago, but now they're looking for you. When you pull up at Bicester Shopping Village, they'll say, hey, she's here again. Glory to God. What can I do for you, Auntie Beam? No, I'm kidding. You understand? This is the kind of thing, because the world doesn't see the glory. In the realm of the spirit, people can see the glory, but the world will see the wealth. Touch your neighbor and tell him, you're coming up. You've got no choice. You're coming up in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7, he says, I'll shake the nations And they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see why God has told us that this year will be a year of glory? This isn't the kind of year that you go like deeper into debt to try and prove that God's glory's on you. So you go out to Versace and end up in the hole. You understand? That's not glory. That's stupid. Some people used to preach that. Fake it till you make it. I don't believe in that. You know, God will make you. In fact, God told me one thing once about fake stuff. Because like back in the day in Tottenham, you could get anything, man. Absolutely anything. They'll counterfeit anything for you. They'll steal anything for you. God told me once, he said, listen, he said, don't ever touch stolen goods. Because the same spirit that will put that in your hands will be the same spirit that's burgling your place one day. And you don't want that. So I chopped myself. I sanctified myself from stolen property. And that was easy back in the day to get whatever you wanted. My goodness. There was some factory back in the day. In fact, we might have to cut this out of the video. But there was a factory back in the day that had Minolta cameras. And like a few guys from the hood just like literally just jacked the whole lot. I mean, you could buy a Minolta Dynax 3000i camera. This is before digital 8 megapixel and all that kind of stuff. Like, there were guys walking around Tottenham. Hoodie, baseball cap, and a Minolta. You understand? Like, you could get them like 50 quid. Seiko watches, like good ones. Like top of the range Seikos for a tenner. Stuff like that. And God told me, sanctify yourself from that. Now, even if you think that it might be stolen, don't go near it. And this is what God said to me about counterfeit stuff. He said, if you settle for the counterfeit, he said, you'll never experience the genuine. Fake polo, fake Lacoste, fake... do you remember Sergio Tacchini back in the day? Hoi! Wow, he's my brother, you see. We come from the same place. And God said, no, you've got to isolate yourself from that. If you settle for the counterfeit, you'll never experience the genuine. And that goes for spiritual things as well. People will settle for a counterfeit thing. They won't even check whether the thing's genuine. You know the way to tell whether a man of God or a woman of God is genuine or not? The same way that they teach you in banking. I used to work for Lloyd's Bank. Would you believe it? I came out of Tottenham, ended up working in a bank as an executive. Hey, mummy, the things God can do. And the way that they teach bank tellers about counterfeit money is that they always give them genuine money to handle. So when you're doing bank telling, is that right? If Hyatt was here, I know Hyatt works in a bank. Anyone else who works in a bank, they'll tell you that you never handle counterfeit money. So that when you handle a counterfeit, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Do you understand? And so it should be with spiritual things for us. We should never settle for counterfeit things. Never settle for something that isn't genuine. May God give us a discerning heart in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, one more scripture and we're going to close. We're going to pray. Hallelujah to Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 28. God showed me this concerning him as well. It's not just true for us, but it's true for him too. Verse 28, it says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. This is what God told me. He said, many of my people aren't getting it. There's a disconnection between what they think of me and what they give to me as a result. I'd never seen it before this way in my life. I live the life of a tither. Every end of the tax year, I go back over my tax records and make sure that I've at least tithed on my gross income. at least, like, just that's bare minimum for me. That doesn't include offerings. That doesn't include sacrifices, seeds, giving to the poor, anything like that. I've learned to live that way, but it's been a process. Do you understand? You, like, often in this life, you can't go from 0 to 90 miles an hour in the things of God. You'll crash. It's like you ride a bike first before you get in a car so that you understand motion and how to steer. Isn't that right, Skinny? With your C-class bike and your mash-up hand. What happened to your hand? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look what it says. Verse 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. So the glory that I ascribe to the Lord is reflected in how I see God in my offerings. This is the trouble, because I always had trouble in my spirit that someone that tries to tip God. Do you understand? Oh, it's offering time. Oh, yeah, well, like, I got this old scrunched up fiver or whatever. Now, if that's all you've got and you're giving it to God deliberately, that's a totally different issue. But if it's like, if that's all you think of my God, then you need to keep your fiver. Do you understand? It's important that you've gone quiet on me and, you know, I hope I'm not, well, I hope I am treading on a few toes if they need treading on. Amen. Because, you see, if there is something that we're missing as a result of not being right in our life, if there's something that God wants to give us, namely his glory, that then we can carry that glory and that then we become a magnet for the wealth of the nations, for the wealth of the sinner, as God says that he will do in his temple, then we need to make sure that we're right in the area of ascribing glory to God. If God is going to glorify us so that the wealth of the world comes to us, then what's the purpose of God doing that? Is it to make me look flash and fancy? Not at all. Not at all. It's so that I can glorify him even more. I can bring the glory that's due to his name. Praise the living God. Does that make sense to you? So we've got certain thing. We've got something else now to focus our faith on. That this year of glory is going to be a year of wow, but it's also going to be a year of wealth. But it's not going to be wealth that you have to just like, as Oyedepo puts it, work like an elephant and eat like a rat. It's not going to be that kind of thing. It's going to come from seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm so sensitive about this. You know, I'm realizing actually that this Sunday should be our building fund offering, but I'm not going to take it because I'm very sensitive in these things. That because people would think, you know, that the only time that somebody used to, in some of the churches I used to go, they'd preach for 45 minutes on offerings and then take an offering. And I don't think that's right. Because I think that the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. In other words, there's got to be a soaking in process for the word of God for you to react in the way that you should. The Bible says, not under compulsion, nor of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Thank God we are blessed in this church. We have no necessity at all. We have never stood up once and said, we have a need, you know, like, oh, please, you know, any decent shoes you've got, put them on eBay, or any nice-looking jewelry, or, you know, oh, it was your 40th birthday, please bring the gifts and we'll auction them, and all that kind of thing. Never. I'd rather burn the place down myself than enter into such shenanigans. Because I think integrity in these issues has been missing for too long in the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Can we agree before God that we be living lights in this area? Yes. That we don't try and live any other go get wealth, go get this, go get that. The Bible says people who strive for such things have ended up shipwrecked, bankrupt, busted and disgusted, etc., etc. But that we, out of all integrity before God, we give him the glory due his name, but then we call on God to glorify us. So that what happens with the wealth of the sinner happens naturally, happens automatically in Jesus' name. You'll see promotion come like never before. You'll see upgrades in your life like never before. People will be calling you and asking you to go places instead of me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Can you stand to your feet and give God the praise and honor and glory to his name? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that this year, the year of glory, will be truly a year of wow for so many people. Lord, I thank you that the wows are already coming in. That things that out of the blue, more than we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, is already manifesting in ways that we didn't think they would. Father, let every heart that responds to your word in righteousness, in integrity, in true holiness, let them see, Lord God, more wow in their life. Let the testimony come in, Father, as to the goodness of God. Let us use your word, Holy Spirit, like a person going to the gym would use barbells and dumbbells. That Lord God would become fit in the area of faith, fit for purpose, ready to lay hold of that testimony of the year of glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's doable. It's possible. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And we give you the glory and praise for it, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we glorify your name, as we lift high your name, as our agenda changes, that it's not about me, but Father, it's about you and it's about them. Lord God, as our own spiritual direction changes towards you and towards others, that Holy Spirit, you'll take us on that journey from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. We give you glory, Jesus, praise and honor. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.